I'd like to discuss tonight a topic that's a little bit relevant to Parshas Mishpatim. Parshas Mishpatim, of course, details a lot of the laws that are negated to mamonos, negated to property, theft. So I'd like to talk about a topic that's an outgrowth of that. And that is the prohibition of loisignov amanas lameka. That's a drasha that the Gemara has in Bav Metzia and Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara quotes from the pasuk loisignovu, and the Gemara asks, why do we need this pasuk? What's this pasuk coming to add to our lives? And the Gemara says that there's a number of, I guess we'll call them minor genevas, that are prohibited by force of this pasuk. We know the fact you're not allowed to steal money and run away to Bermuda, that we know already. So what is loisignovu telling us? So the Gemara tells us a number of lesser types of geneva, we'll call it that for now. Loisignov amanas lameikat, which will translate right now as you shouldn't steal in order to aggravate. It's not the only way to say it, as we'll see, but for now we'll translate it like that. Loisignov amanas l'shalem teshlum mekefel, you shouldn't steal so that the person will benefit. That maybe you figure that if I want to give somebody some staka, and he's too proud to take staka, so I could rob him and get caught. And when I get caught, so they'll make me pay kefil. And therefore, I'm doing the guy a favor. So you might think you're doing the guy a favor. Nonetheless, the Gemara tells us that's also prohibited. And I'd like to talk tonight more about the first one. The first one is loisignov amanas lameikat. So that, on the surface, what it sounds like it's talking about is your basic practical joke stealing. That if you're going to steal to profit, so that's certainly prohibited. But the Gemara is telling you a chiddush here also. Let's say you don't plan on keeping what you're going to steal. You just want to play a practical joke. You think you get a big kick out of it watching the guy search his pockets frantically. You find that entertaining for some reason. So the Gemara says that that's also prohibited. This should not be confused with a similar concept. By the way, we also have a concept called shoal shelo midas. Right? So if you borrow somebody's property and you don't ask, so the Gemara calls that a type of gzela also. So you might think that, okay, we know that there's a prohibition of shoal shelo midas. So therefore, what's the chiddush of this practical joke stealing? That should already be included in shoal shelo midas. But it's not totally true, because this is a little bit better than shoal shelo midas. Because shoal shelo midas, basically, you're planning on using the item. If you borrow somebody's book, shelo midas, you're going to read it. So not only did you take it, but you're also using it. That's part of what makes it so bad. But this is a little bit better, because you don't plan on actually using it. If all goes well, you're not going to change the object in any way. You're not going to use it in any form. Your whole point is you want to hold on to it and then give it back to the guy eventually. But until then, he's going to have a heart attack, and you, for some reason, find that amusing. Lamed mem yud kuf tes. Kuf tes. Yes. Lamekat. So that's. It's related, I think, yeah. So that, on the surface, that's the way we normally understand this prohibition. Before we discuss it any further, just want to discuss some of the slightly disputed details about that definition, because it's not totally agreed upon. So just to make a couple of artists about that. First of all, just an interesting point. So the Gemara darshens this from the plural lo signovu. So in the Sefer Paradis Yosef on Chumash, so he quotes from some opinions to explain that the intent is the Torah is talking in plural, because this type of theft you wouldn't do alone. Because if you're going to steal something as a practical joke, so you would only do that when somebody else is watching, he seems to be assuming. Because if you steal in secret, then you could get caught and it would look like you're really stealing to keep the object. So anybody who was stealing for a practical joke wouldn't do it by himself. It's too suspicious. It's too suspicion arousing. So if you want to steal something as a practical joke, you usually do it when someone else is there and you say, hey, look, this will be funny. I'll grab that and he's not going to know and won't that be amusing. But chances are you wouldn't do it alone. So that's why specifically this Isser is learned from this plural phrasing of loisignovu. That's how some suggest. Some Sfarim even go so far as to say that in order to put yourself in this category, so the Ad HaMelech says like this, because really it's all a question of intent, right? So let's say I steal something And then I get caught. So I say, well, I didn't really want to steal it. It was all a practical joke. So what's to stop me from saying that always? So there's some svarim that suggest that in order to even be considered alman asamekah, you have to say it in front of two edim. You have to really declare in a formal legal sense that I am taking this, before I take it, give yourself hasra, I am doing this avera, so to speak, in this category and not in that category. All right, could be. The Rashmi signs, as I indicated, there are some slightly differing interpretations of what the sugya is talking about. So as David pointed out, Lameka has this connotation of aggravating. So it seems like you're really trying to hurt the guy. That seems to be the way we understand it. Not hurt the guy in a serious way, but annoy him. The Rashmi signs does have a little bit of a different spin on it, that he understands that really you're doing it as a favor. That you think that this guy is too careless with his property. And if you steal his wallet, he'll see how easily he gets robbed, and he'll decide that he should be a little more careful. So you want to be more careful. You want to show him how easily he could get robbed. So that's still not permitted. That's still in this category of lesignovo manasamekah.
To be a favor, you're giving me sure.
Right, that for sure you could say about anything, and that definitely would not consider to be in our hands to do. So the Rambam has a very striking formulation of this whole list. There's also, we'll mention B'derech HaKdamah. So the Rambam in Hilchas Kenevim, Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis. So the Rambam makes a comment here which has led some Achronim to say that he believes this Isser to be an Isser D'Rabban. Now he does not say that directly. What he says is as follows. He says, also, Lignoiv Kol Shudin Tor, you're not allowed to steal anything. Right, we know that's a side point. We know that normally you're only Chayiv for Gezela, as far as Hashava, as far as other things, if you steal a Shava Pruta. But that doesn't mean you're allowed to steal less than Shavu Pruta. That's also prohibited. It's a whole discussion whether it's prohibited because of Chatzi Shir, or it's prohibited because of something else. But in any case, you're not allowed to steal even a little bit. And that's what the Rambam says. Also, Lignov Kol Shehu Din Toru. And then he adds, you also Lignov Derech Schok. Right? So that he has that word Schok, which definitely sounds like the practical joke idea. O Lignov Amanas Lahachzir. Or any type of stealing where you intend to return and you think it's okay because you're going to give it back. Oh, I'm an asla shalem, or if you don't intend to return it, but you intend to pay for the object, that's all of this is prohibited. Hakol aser, you can't do any of that. Why? Shlo yargil atzmai bekach. That's an interesting comment. It sounds like he's saying it's a type of gezeru. That we're afraid that you're going to train yourself to be a crook, and that's a bad idea. So there are those who have interpreted this Rambam as being intended to say that this is really Nisra Drabbanan, because it sounds like it's a chash, that not like there's an Nisra inherent here, but that you're not allowed to do it because of what it might lead to. Yep. Now, we've discussed here many times in the past, I think this might be about to say, that just because something is a gezeru, or because we might have a reason for it, certainly does not force us to say it's Nisra Drabbanan. We've mentioned many, many, many times in the past, the famous essay of Rav Yosef Engel and others who've gotten involved in this question also, that there are sometimes Yisurim in the Torah which are there in order to be protective. This is not part of his list, which is interesting, but it could be that maybe it should be. Maybe that's what the Rambam is trying to say, that this is could still be Nisra D'Oraisa, and yet be functioning as a gzeru. Should also mention, while we're on the topic of the Rambam, that this would seem like there's a very big chumrah attached, because one nafka mina of understanding it the way the Rambam understands it, that it's a chshash, like basically nisr midas, you're training yourself in gzela, and therefore that's inappropriate. So one might also decide that this is not given to mechila. That let's say you know the person is okay with it, or let's say you hire, you know, let's say if you take Rashmi Sanz's idea that it's to check out your security device, let's say you hire someone to do that. So somebody hires you to break into his house. One could make a case in the Rambam that that's prohibited. That you're not allowed to do that, even though the owners are completely okay with it. That maybe this isn't the Nisr ben Adam Lechaveru. That maybe it's not up to the owner to say it's okay. One could make such a case. I don't know if Halacha L'Maaseh people say that, but one could make such a case based on what the Rambam is saying here. The Shita Mekubetzes quotes a very surprising opinion, which, again, is also just in the context we're saying of clarifying some of the details which are a little bit disputed on the basic definition of what the sister is. So the Shita Mekubetzes quotes the Yesh Meforshim, very surprising, and the Ritva HaChadash B'Metzia quotes us from Rabbeinu Tam, pretty major name, the following statement, that the prohibition, it's not like we understand it. It doesn't mean you're taking it and you plan on giving it back, Shudim Kubetzah says, because that's Maisim B'chol Yom. Yeah, people do that all the time. So it must mean that you're taking it and you don't plan on giving it back. So what's the difference between that and regular Geneva? So apparently it's different because when you steal something for a normal purpose, you steal it because you want it. And here, because you don't take it because you want it, you take it just to give the guy a hard time. So that's somewhat of a different issue. That's a little bit hard to swallow, the Dachshund. It's very difficult interpretation. And the Ktos, in fact, takes that position that that's not pshat. The Ktos in Shem Mem Ches Aleph. And it's Sefer Hasidim, and it's Sefer Mitzvah Rambam. Sounds like that's not at all what it means. It means you're taking it with the intent of giving it back. And the Ktos responds to what the Shiva Kabetzah says, you know, the fact you're going to say it's Maisim B'chol Yom, okay, shouldn't be. So that's, we should work on it. So just because it happens every day doesn't mean it's legitimate. It shouldn't happen every day. We should still be nizah from this because that is apparently a prohibition. On the surface, it certainly makes sense. The fact that it happens every day doesn't take away from the fact that you're giving the guy a hard time. You're doing something that's inappropriate. So that, it's my impression that that's the mainstream understanding. The way we started off explaining it, that it's my impression the mainstream understanding of this term is, like the Rambam sounds, that basically you're stealing for the purposes of a joke, and your intent is to give the object back. Right, that's basically what the Ktos's. Right, that's basically what the Ktos's reaction is. You know, the fact that, well, the Svara is coming backwards. That, you know, we assume that all the Jews are tzaddikim. It's not shaykh, that behavior that we see every day, all the time in class, that could be an issa d'oraisa. It's hard to imagine. You know, it's an issa d'oraisa at each reif. You don't see people eating reif all the time. So it must be. We live in a very firm world. So it must be that it can't be that's what the pasuk means. But so's reaction is like your reaction. Okay, it happens every day. It's still wrong. It's still not what you're supposed to be doing. So one could be choker in general, and we'll try to discuss this quickly because it is late, that one could be choker. So what exactly is the nature of this issa? It's a very important basic question. Let's assume, probably, you know, like most Rishonim, a little bit, probably could be even the Rambam, but at least other than else besides the Rambam, let's assume that this is an issa d'oraisa. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. That we have a pasuk telling us it's forbidden to do this. But what really is the chiddush of the pasuk? What is the pasuk really telling us? You could understand it in two ways. On the one hand, you could understand that we know of the prohibition of theft. But that prohibition of theft, without this pasuk, I would have thought that stealing is only prohibited if I plan on keeping it. So this pasuk is coming to tell me a chiddush that even if I'm not going to keep it, I plan on giving it back, it's still considered theft. It's still prohibited under the same rubric. Or I could say totally differently. I could say that no, theft means I'm keeping the object. That's the prohibition of theft. And the Gemara that tells me that this pasuk means I can't steal a practical joke is telling me a new isser. That there's a new prohibition besides theft, which this is not theft, it's less severe than theft, because you plan on giving it back, so it's not theft, that's missing a crucial definition, but it's a different prohibition. And as we'll see, there probably are several significant ramifications to the question of whether or not this is called theft. So that's the question I'd like to talk about a little bit. Are we basically calling it theft? And the pasuk is being mechadesh, that even though you're returning it, it's still theft? But no, it's a totally different issue. The Tshuva's Chukei Chaim has an interesting tshuva about this, in which he has a little bit of discussion. I can't really tell how he comes out as far as this particular question, but he makes the point that Rashi in Sanhedrin sounds like the Iker Mechayiv of Geneva is the factor of Kol Hanar Shalo, that all the benefit is to you. That normally if I buy something, so there's a mutual benefit. I gave money and I got something. If I sold something, it's reversed. So whatever it is, if I work for my money, so I provided a service and I got money, so we're all happy. But Geneva is the lopsided situation of Kol Hanar Shalo, that that guy suffers and I get all the benefit without putting anything out there. So on that level, so this qualifies. The fact that you're not going to keep it, okay. And your bank account's not going to go up because of it, fine. But in this transaction, which is on the surface stealing, so it does qualify as Kol Hanar Shalo. So how exactly does that really enter it all the way into the category of theft? I can't really tell from where the Chukei Chaim is going with it, but just an interesting building block of the Svar.
I'm not sure if you're doing it for the other guy. That's
If you're stuck to Rashmi Sanz's view, which is different, right, then that, like I said, that's the minority view. The more mainstream definition of what we're talking about is that you're doing it just for your own hana, and that's really the understanding that most Rishonim, Achronim, Sfarim who discuss the topic at all are working off that understanding, that you're doing it to somehow benefit yourself. So one of the questions that comes out of this basic type of approach is, so we know there are two types of theft. There's Gneva, and there's also Gezela. Right? So if I steal out in the open, so is that prohibited also? So that's a question. There is a Gemara in Bava Basra, on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara there says that Eov, those are where the old Gemaras are about Eov. You have it in front of you, learning Eov. So the Gemara says, what did Eov do with fields? He used to steal fields. He used to be gozel the fields of Yesomim, right? It's going to make him sound like a cruel guy, right? So why did Eov get punished so badly? Because he used to steal orphans' land. Sounds pretty bad. The Gemara says that he was actually a good guy, that his point was he would steal it and he would make it more valuable and then give it back. And the Gemara says that was considered a tzedakah, what he did. So it seems to clearly be supported. So it sounds like then there that it's mutter to be gozel a manas l'shalim. Right, we won't call it mekat, we'll take up the other subset, amanas l'shalim, all these yisurim, or you intend to return it. Now, amanas l'shalim is both the umbrella category and it's an individual category. I could steal just in order to give payback, or I'd also, all these cases, I steal with the intent of paying or giving, with the intent of leaving things equal. So, right, so it's not called amanas l'shalim. Well, either way, he's not, I mean, it's like, that element is different, I hear what you're saying. But, also, still a little surprising. So basically, he seems to be stealing a manas l'shalim, and that's normally not permitted. And the Sefer Ber Yaakov, the Paras Yosef, quotes that it could be that maybe this is a raya that a manas l'mekat is indeed an issa d'rabbanan. And we often find in the cases of things like that b'yisomim, things that you do for to help orphans, so issuri d'rabbanan are often not in place. And maybe that's the case, that this whole thing would be an issa d'rabbanan, and since he was doing it to help yisomim, so b'makim yisomim lo gazru. The Bach says differently. The Bach says, it's a little bit difficult. The Bach says that in order to make it better, it's mutter. Because basically what Eov did was gzela. And gzela is permitted, amanas l'mekat. Okay, so that's an opinion that's out there in general, that the Yisr amanas l'mekat doesn't apply to gzela. The harder part about the Bach is the way he explains it. He explains it based on the Rambam. He says that the Rambam's whole idea is that the reason this prohibition is in place is because we're afraid you're going to get habituated to behaving like this, so it's less likely with gezela. Because gezela is out in the open, it's not so habit-forming. You're going to sneak around, you're going to start developing a quality of being a sneaky kind of guy, so that's dangerous. But gezela is out in the open, it's not such a risk of leading to habituation. The Shach disagrees with this, it's a little bit hard to understand. The Birkas Avram, I think in Bava Metzia, says on the one hand, you could make this point that if gezela was prohibited, amanas l'mekat, so the Gemara would have to have a pasuk the same way as a pasuk for lo signovu, should have an equal pasuk for lo signovu. But he also acknowledges that the Ritva already writes that there's a possibility that there is a nisr of gozel amanas l'mekat, and that it's transferred over from Geneva. So that's a question you could ask in general. This pasuk of loy signo of amanas l'mekat, is that telling you that the boundaries of theft are expanded to include even cases where you plan on returning it? Or is it its own separate isser, in which case maybe you should say it's only ein bo el chidusha, it's only applicable to gonev? Rabbi Abba Brandspiegel Shlita, used to be Rebbe here, so in the Sefer Yevul HaYovelos, he printed an essay in which he discusses this topic, is there an Isser of Gezela Manas L'mekat? And he suggests that there isn't, based on a chiluk that is quoted in the name of Reb Chaim. I'm not sure how many of the Reb Chaim Svarim have this. I know in the Sefer Meginzei HaGrach, is a blue book, it's printed there. It's quoted in other Svarim as well, that Reb Chaim has suggested there's a fundamental difference between Geneva and Gezela. That the Yesod of Gezela is that you're holding on to forbidden property, property that belongs to somebody else. Geneva has that component, but also has a component that the etzem halakicha is what's also prohibited. The act of taking is a part and parcel of the issa in Geneva. So maybe it's only loy signo of amanas l'mekat that's prohibited, because as far as retaining stolen property, that you're not really doing. So gzeila is all about that. So gzeila manasa mekai maybe is mamash mutter. But gneva manasa mekai, you're missing the part of the property, but the part of the iser of taking, that you still have. So, but that you only have in the case of gneva, you don't have it in the type of gzeila. You could say, by the way, a similar svar, Ruchum Fishel Perel, if I remember correctly, and one of his svarim, Ruchum Fishel Perel, who wrote in the Sefer somewhere in that vast ocean of a Sefer that's a commentary on the Sefer Mitzvahs of Reb Sajagon. So Ruchum Fishel Perlo explains this whole Gemara above Mitzvah about Lo Signal Nasameka, that the idea is that in general, when I rob somebody, that I'm doing really two things. On the one hand, I'm taking their money. And on the other hand, I'm annoying them. Anybody who gets robbed, he finds his wallet gone, so two different bad things are happening to him. He loses how much ever property was in there, and he goes through the very unpleasant experience of having lost his wallet. So they're both part and parcel of prohibition. And the Chiddush of the Gemara is that even if you only have one of those elements, that's still prohibited. That's still also an issue. Another major issue that could come out of the question of whether we're going to call this real Geneva or not is discussed by the Ksos HaChoshen and Shemem Ches, and it's a question of Hischaivis Ba'onsin. So one who steals property acquires he has a certain kinyan on it, and he attains a role of ownership, which bears certain responsibility. So what happens to it? What happens with it? So does that responsibility transfer also to a goner v'manas l'meka? So the Ksos asks this question. He has a shizim kubetzes. It sounds like he isn't. So that's a discussion. And the Sefer Tabas HaChoshim, is written by Rav Scheinberg. It's a very, very extensive commentary on the Ksos HaChoshim. So he suggests kind of a split. He says you could say that it's its own iser, that it's not Kneva, but at the same time, maybe we could still say there is still a Schaivis and Onsen anyway. And the Chazon Ish, right? Sorry? Ba'onsin. Right? Ba'onis. That's something that comes along normally when you steal something, you assume that responsibility. So a Gordon of a Manasseh Meka, does he also assume that kind of responsibility? Or no, this is not really Geneva. And Scheinberg kind of split. He said maybe it's not really Geneva, but still there is a Hischaivis and Onsen. The Chazon Ish writes that Hischaivis and Onsen, because it has this principle, like the Chuk HaChaim said, it has the principle of Kol HaNoah Shelo, because he's the one who's having a good time. He's the one who's enjoying himself at the expense of the guy who got robbed. So that's the basic function you need in order to get this obligation. Another basic function, the question of whether or not this is Geneva, is would there be a responsibility of Kefil? Right, that if you get caught before you get a chance to return it, so are you obligated to pay kefil? And this is also, we mentioned earlier, the Yad HaMelech, where the Yad HaMelech comes in. The Yad HaMelech's chiddush, you have to say in front of Eidim that you plan on returning it. So that's where this plays a role. If we're going to say that there's a chi of kefil that's involved, so that's where we can start discussing how exactly you ascertain whether you're a... Well, actually, it comes out the other way, that if you... This is only relevant if there's no kefil. If it's kefil for stealing, then you have to define... But no kefil for amanas l'meka, you have to define yourself as doing amanas l'meka. But this all relates to this question of, is that part of gzeilu or not? And Menachas Chinuch in Siman Reish Chav Bei says something also very interesting. He says that maybe this is more chamer than normal geneva, that by normal geneva, geneva is allowed in the Torah, so I should get malchus. But we don't get malchus, the Gemara says, because we call lav hanitan leheshavim. Right, that you can give it back. So the Gemara says anytime you can return, you can fix what you did, and if you can fix what you did, so there's no malchus. So that's if I steal your book and I plan on keeping it so I can give it back. But if I never plan on keeping it in the first place, and there's an isser anyway, despite the fact that I'm giving it back, so it's not nitin leishavin. So therefore, maybe it should be chayav malchus. It's a very striking idea, which a lot of people disagreed with. But you could also say, this also goes to the central question, that if it's just a subset of Geneva, so since Geneva itself has a Hafkah from Malkus, so this is also just a detailed Geneva, so it should have the same Hafkah from Malkus. But maybe if you want to say it's a whole new Isser, so then maybe you could say it indeed doesn't benefit from the Ptur Malkus that is inherent in Geneva, which just seems to be the position the Menachas Chinuch takes, which is striking. We've also mentioned, I think, in the past, that in general there is a Machlokus between the Rambam and the Ramban as far as Bnei Noach are concerned. Bnei Noach are obligated to act in din, act in justice, and as machlokas, we discussed more at length in the past between the Rambam and the Ramban, the Rambam understands that that's a general azhara to enforce the six prohibitions b'nei Noach, and that the civil code of non-Jews is basically intuitive. They decide on their own, with, based on rational thought and logic and ethics, how to govern civilly. But the Ramban, in his Perush on Chumash, takes a more surprising stance that really basically the entire code of Choshen Mishpat, with all of its less intuitive details, transfers over to Bnei Noach also. So one subset of that question, which a lot of Sfarim talk about, is are non-Jews prohibited to steal for a practical joke? Are they prohibited in Gonev HaManasseh Mekah? So that should also be affected by this issue, because you could say, if you can say like the Ramban, so Pashas, they should be obligated, because the whole code of Choshen Mishpat, and this isn't Choshen Mishpat, Shem Memches, the whole code of... I wonder if that's also in Sameach. It's a joke, so it's the same Isser seems to transfer over. So according to Ramban, Lachar would transfer to non-Jews also. But according to Rambam, you have to figure it out, because on the one hand, it's not necessarily so intuitive. It's very possible that a non-Jewish code would exist without this prohibition. On the other hand, if it's a subset of Geneva, so maybe it's already one of the Shev Mitzvah Noach, or a subset of Gezele, if that's the case, then, you know, that's one of Shev Mitzvah Noach, and maybe it's not even a function of having to come up with it. Another very basic question, as we mentioned, Joseph Engel does not include this in his list, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure he does not include this in his list in Lekach Tov, but he does have a very fascinating, extensive discussion of the whole Isser, which relates largely to what we've been talking about in his lesser-known Sefer, the Tshuvas Ben Poras. The Tshuvas Ben Poras in Chelek Beis, he has a discussion about the question, which also comes out of what we've been talking about. One, this is a very fundamental question, which should basically go to the core of this whole question. Somebody who steals a Manasseh Mekat, is he Pasul Eidus? Right? Stealing disqualifies you from being an aid. So if you do that, so if you do it on as a practical joke, so do we say, well, this is an Isser Gneva, and therefore anyone who is a Ganav is excluded from Eidus, or no, it's not part of Gneva, it's its own Isser, and therefore it's not a function of Gneva, and it doesn't necessarily have to postulate Eidus, especially because normally the standard for postulating a few Eidus has to do with, well, it has to be a lav, or it has to involve chemdas mamon, is also a factor. So you could say there's no chemdas mamon involved, you're only doing it to be annoying, and therefore maybe it's not the category to possibly made this, but if it's Geneva, so then Geneva is a problem. So if you get called up for a wedding, you got to think, do you ever steal things as a practical joke? It's a little bit of an issue. So just to mention one or two issues, or three other issues, this is basically to close that point, but just to basically end off, just to mention very quickly other issues in which may come out of this discussion. So just two practical points where the question of Manasseh Mekat comes up. One question is Purim. Right, there are heterim to do certain things on Purim that you don't normally do the rest of the year. And the assumption is that there's a mechila in play. That's the way the Svarim explain. That is, you find this by Nezikin in general, that there's a lower level of culpability for damaging property on Purim. The assumption being not so much, the Chavos Yoreh, the whole discussion about this, because the Gemara says in Bava Kamma that if I'm running around on Erev Shabbos and I damage something, so I'm Pater. Gemara says, because you're rats spiritus. So a lot of Acharonim explain that that's hard to understand, that which, because you're involved in a mitzvah, so you're potter from damages that you do, so I could always be involved in a mitzvah. As one contemporary sefer said it, so everyone should always have to walk around in armored tanks, because who knows who's going to knock them over, because maybe they're on the way to a bris or a shir or something, so everybody is, you know, the world isn't safe anymore because everyone's involved in some kind of a mitzvah. It's hard to believe that's the case. The Chavos Yoreh says in his Tshuvas that that's not really what the Gemara means. The Gemara means to say that there's a responsibility al nizek l'harchek es atzmo. There's a responsibility not to damage things, but you also have to protect your own property. If I'm going to leave my china in the middle of the street and then get upset when somebody drives over it, I don't really have a china. It's not in keeping with how I have to protect my own property. So too on Erev Shabbos, when the whole world is running around, so you should know that it's not as safe as it is on a Wednesday. So you should know that there's a higher level of danger in the streets, and you have to be more careful. So you find the same svara by Purim, that by Purim you also find that the Shulchan Aruch and Poskim say that there's reduced culpability for damages. So you could have said that maybe Simchas Purim, motivation of Simchas Purim, allows you to do certain things. Or you could say that, no, that basically people want to have a good Purim. So people know that on Purim everyone's going to be partying, so I know that if I want to be involved in enjoying my Purim, I have to be more careful with my property and not throw the fragile stuff out there in public. I have to know if I'm going to have a Purim party in my house, things are going to get damaged, and that's just the way I willingly enter into that situation in order to be able to enjoy myself. So does this extend to jokes on Purim that may involve stealing stuff? So that's a discussion in Poskim. And one could have said, by the way, also, like we said in the beginning, that if you select the Rambam, there's an Isser Midas, so then you have to really figure out. Maybe you could say that the fact that people are going to allow it in order to have fun may not help. On the other hand, you could say that sometimes we find a terium for things that only happen once in a while. It's not such a danger. So that's what to talk about. Another issue, which just comes up a little more practically, there was a whole debate in the pages of Tchumen about this topic. Feel free to look it up. I'm not going to get into it, but there's a very nogea question. Does a teacher have the right to confiscate property? That, I don't remember. But if you have, sorry? Police. Well, police, right. Police also have a little bit of a different context. Let's say a teacher decides that I want to take away your rubber bands that you're playing around with because you're annoying me, and I'm going to give them back afterwards. So that's not amanasa makeup, but it's in the larger category of taking with the plan of giving it back. So that's something you have to figure out. So first of all, this would be geisel, because the teacher's not going to sneak into the desk and take it. The teacher's going to say, give it to me or you're in trouble. So basically has a gun to the student's head, so to speak. So it's going to be an issue of geisel, so then that's already a sniff to say that there's no iser geisel, I'm not going to make that anyway. But that's a question. That's a little bit of a discussion in contemporary svarim. And just to mention one last point, so I think we mentioned it a couple weeks ago, let's mention it again here also. So this whole idea the Rambam has that there's an issue I'm not make that because of Shalo Yagel Atzman B'kach. So basically what you see here is you have a prohibition in the Torah, and you have a situation where it looks like you're not really doing it. It's not really the serious prohibition, it just looks like it. And yet the Rambam says it's prohibited anyway because of the habituation problem. So what about other things such as, and this we discussed a few weeks ago, let's say you're hitting somebody in jest, playfully hitting somebody without trying to hurt them, without really being violent, but you're just kind of playing around. So should that be prohibited? That's discussion in Svarim. And there were some Svarim, that's a disservice. Chuv, I think, has like this, that maybe we should compare it to what the Rambam says here, and the fact that you're not really hurting him isn't really going to help you, but the danger that you may get into seriously doing that is a real one, and maybe we should worry about that. Okay, so we'll stop there just to quickly review. So we talked about the prohibition of stealing an asameka, which the Gemara learns out of Lo Yusignoivu, and which on the surface, mainstream understanding seems to mean you take something with the intent to give it back, and you take it for the purposes of annoying the person. There are some other opinions. The Rashmi San says you do it for the purpose of teaching the person how exposed the property is, and the Shita Mekubetzes and the Ritva quote opinions that say that you actually plan on keeping it. The Ksos finds that very hard to imagine, and we normally assume you do plan on giving it back. And the Rambam says that this is the prohibition is so that you shouldn't come to become a ganav. There are those who understood that he seems to be saying this is the Rabbanan, and others didn't necessarily feel he had to go that far. As we mentioned, it's possible to be Nisa Dereis and still have a tam to it. And then we discussed the question of, does the Pasuk tell us that this is an extension of the Isser Geneva, or is it a new Isser? Which would have a couple of ramifications. We discussed a little bit the question of goes Lomanas Lameka to extend it, Geneva to Gzela. We talked about the Machlokas, the Bach, and the Shach on this point, and about Rav Braunschweig's point that the difference between Geneva and Gzela that the Rav Chaim had as far as the Maisa Lakicha being Be'isser is relevant here, and therefore only goes Lomanas Lameka. It goes on to make out is permitted. It's only going to have make out that's not permitted. And we discussed the question of Schaiv Ba'onsin, and that's a discussion in the Ksos and in other Svarim. And discussed the question of Kefel. Discussed a little bit the question of Malkus and Chasinuch striking Chiddush, that you would get Malkus for this because it's not Nitum Lehishavim. And we discussed how you might be able to say it a little bit differently. And discussed the question of non-Jews, how that could relate to Machlokus Ram and Ramban. It happens to be a discussion in general whether or not there is such a prohibition. And the very basic question that the Ben Paris talks about, does one who engages in this behavior become pasul le'edus? And then we discussed a couple of lemaisa-ish questions that could come out of this also. The question of Purim, that's almost known as the Yoma. The question of teachers confiscating property. And just finally also the issue of whether or not we can extend this basic theory to other Isurim, such as hitting somebody playfully. the discussion of the tshuva, Sairis tshuva, do we say that the Rambam's logic of we're concerned you might habituate yourself to it is relevant to that also. Okay, we'll stop there, and next week we'll discuss something else.